I'm so glad I've got a microphone that I don't have to find. Got one here and one here. And I've got the Word of God I don't have to find. I don't have to forget it. I even brought my glasses along in case I did. I want to thank you and Dr. May for allowing me to bring God's Word tonight. It's always a humbling experience when God lays a message on my heart, and it's always for me first, and I have to learn and I examine myself, and it's a humbling experience just to do that and see what God has for us. Tonight I want to look at Luke chapter 24, last chapter in the book of Luke, and we're going to be looking at two men on a road of discovery, a road of discovering their sight, their eyes are open, a road where they're going down toward Emmaus, west of Jerusalem, toward the sunset, and the sunrise comes to them. I'm going to look at verse 31 to begin with. Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he was with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story that we're about to read and we're about to investigate and discover and learn what you have for us, God, dealing with these two men who were followers of you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your precious life that you gave for us, that you gave to these two men. And we thank you that you want to communicate to us and want us to know all that you have for us. Help us, and as we go and we search the scriptures tonight, in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The day was Sunday morning. It was a sad day for Jesus' disciples, for Mary especially, and for the other women. They came to the tomb early that morning, the Bible says, the beginning of chapter 24. And they didn't realize what was going to happen. They had no idea that the tomb would be empty and the stone would be rolled away. They had no idea that they would meet two angels who asked them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" in verse 5. They had no idea what was going on, but Jesus knew all along what was going on. He had a plan for them. Well, we see that Mary and the other women came and they saw the stone rolled away and the angels, and they were so excited they ran back to where the disciples were. They ran back because they thought and they knew something was changed. The Lord wasn't there. The Lord must have risen. And then as we read on, we realize that Peter and John would run to the tomb and they didn't see Jesus there either. And so now the whole group of followers that were frightened and scared and didn't have any idea what to do are now excited. But they're still puzzled. They don't know exactly where to look or where to go. And Jesus shows up on the scene. And that's where our story starts tonight in verse 13 of chapter 24. Two men on the road. Now behold, the two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Emmaus is a town that is long passed away. They can't hardly find it now, but it was a town then that was west of Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Some suggest that maybe the sun was in their eyes. I don't know. It certainly was later on. In verse 17, Jesus drew near to them and said, "Well, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and you are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus said unto them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Notice in verse 27, Jesus takes all of the Bible and tells these two men that the Bible, the Old Testament, not just a few verses, but all the Bible leads up and tells about God and tells about Jesus, his Son. They all lead to that point of the Messiah, who they were looking for, the redeeming one. The two on the road that day were hoping for that redeeming one, that Messiah who was coming. In verse 27, he said, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Then, in verse 28, they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. Jesus has always got work to do. He's always got people to meet and places to go. He never pushes anybody to accept him, but he gives free will to all of us. But notice what these men do. In verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Notice they had traveled now 7 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus had been traveling those miles with them, walking with them. And he went in to stay with them, and now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. On the road that day, two men, two followers of Christ, Jesus asked them, what was your conversation? What are you talking about? Well, what were they talking about? They were telling the story of Jesus. They were sharing with one another about what had happened. They were expressing their thoughts and their concerns and their everyday problems. Sure, they were sad. They did not understand what happened. Their week started very triumphantly as Jesus marched in on Palm Sunday, but in very tragically as Jesus was crucified on the cross. Imagine being a follower of Jesus at that time. Imagine those disciples who were so close to him. They had given everything to follow the Lord, and now they believe he's dead. But now something's changed. Now they can't quite figure it out, but they're trying to. They still have a little bit of faith. They're holding on. So the first thing I see with these two followers of Christ is they are an example of God's followers who's concerned about God's work. Yes, they didn't know, they didn't have everything figured out. They didn't have all their theology figured out. But they knew God and they knew God was loving. They knew Jesus. They trusted, but they did not understand. They hoped against hope. That's what they said. They hoped that this Redeemer would come. But they were in despair. They were hanging on by a string of faith, but in the face of doubt. They were blinded by the day of confusion, but were straining to see hope. Then Jesus drew near. I am challenged by these two disciples to be as concerned about God's work as they were. Now I have to ask myself, it's a challenge to me. Am I that concerned about God's work? Is God's work, is God's ways and God's purpose on my mind every day? Or do I let my mind get clouded with the things of this life and the affairs and my business and you can just go on and on? But God wants us to think about Him and be concerned about Him. And I think this is a story, it reminds me, these disciples, they were true followers of Christ. These men were brokenhearted at the events of the last day, but they still talked about the Lord, even though they were sad, even though they didn't have the answers of life. And Jesus drew near. You know, Jesus drew near to get the message to them. He wanted to tell them that He was alive and that He was risen. He didn't want to make no uncertain speech to them. He wanted to communicate very clearly who He was and what He was about. Communication. You know, Jesus doesn't have any problem communicating with us. It's we sometimes who have problems communicating with Him. Well, He's written a whole book for us just to read. He's had prophets. He's got preachers. He's got people. He's in every church and every city and every town and in community talking about the Lord. God wants to let us know that He loves us and cares for us. Communication is a key to knowing God and to having the relationship that He wants us to have. In 1999, NASA learned an important lesson in communication. For 10 months, the Mars Climate Orbiter had been en route to the red planet, and scientists were excited that it was finally maneuvering into the sequence that would allow it to fulfill its mission of being a weather satellite to Mars. But on September 23, 1999, the $125 million project destructed just 37 miles above the Martian surface. The failed mission was caused by a single, simple miscommunication. The orbiter crashed because there was a mix-up in the use of the English and metric units. This far-flung satellite was supposed to be hovering 93 miles above the surface, but the wrong system of measurements were placed into this orbiter. Just one minor detail, and millions of dollars were destroyed. Whether it's a satellite going to Mars or conversation at the dinner table, clear communication is essential for success in the Lord. See, the Lord wants us to be ambassadors for Him. And I got to think about that. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul reminds us that we are ambassadors for Christ. And I said, what is an ambassador? I ask that sometimes. I pray for God in the morning, help me to be an ambassador for You. And I think about what an ambassador is. An ambassador from the United States would go to another nation and he would represent the United States and the president and the people, a powerful nation. But think about an ambassador to God. I've got to thinking about that. Well, an ambassador to God would represent heaven, would represent God's kingdom, would represent God and all. What an awesome responsibility that Paul was saying, that he was an ambassador for Christ and we need to follow. So that's a good idea to think about. How does our speech and how can we line up with these people, these walking on the road to Emmaus, talking about the Lord, giving and sharing about the Lord? Well, several weeks ago I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, help me be an ambassador for You today. And then I forgot about it after I got to work and was going on about my business. And later on that day, I was in a tire store and was getting my truck worked on, and I knew the manager well, and I go there and take my trucks there. And one of my friends came in, and he's in charge of the Gideon chapter of Paulding County. And we got to talking, and he wanted to talk about the Lord. So we sat by the tires, and we talked about the Lord, and we were standing up. And then people were coming in and getting their tires. It's a busy place. And then he says, I want to pray. And for a moment, I said, I talked to myself, he wants to pray right here in front of all these people, getting these tires. Bubba's getting the four-wheel drive big tires over there, and he's just looking at us, and everybody's looking at us. So we prayed. And we prayed. And we kept praying. And you know, I felt God's presence, and it was an exhilarating experience. But I felt a little awkward. And the Lord began to work on me. Why do I feel awkward? Because I'm not used to that. But then I remembered praying that morning, Lord, help me to be an ambassador for You. Help me to share something for You. And you know, during that time that Neil was praying with me, and I was with him, and all these people around. As soon as we got through praying, I looked around, and the salesperson behind the desk, he was just smiling. What we're doing. But you know, that might have been a blessing to somebody. It might have lifted somebody up. I don't know. But I believe it's what God wanted us to do at that day. So I have to be careful what I pray for. Later on, I saw Neil at the county tag office, and I almost wanted to hide. But no, I mean, people buying their tags. We're going to start praying for them too, and the commissioners. But God wants us to pray and to talk with each other, and the people that we have with us who are our friends and Christians, to pray for one another. And that's what I believe the early church did, and I believe that's what drew people to them, is they were not ashamed of their faith. They were willing to stand up. Paul reminds us in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed for the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. God reminded me, why do you feel awkward, Scott? So God's working on me on this. And he keeps working on me on this. There's a friend of mine who we used to work together and still work together some. He owns a small electrical business, and I knew him 25 years ago, and I knew him before he was a Christian. He was a tough, big man, and I would witness to him, and a lot of people witnessed to him, and later on, he became a Christian. We call him Big Mike. Well, Big Mike, when he became a Christian, he just went all in, and he has his fist like this all the time, and he's preaching at the jail in Tallapoosa. And we would get together on Fridays and we would talk about the business, some things that we would do during the week. But the Lord began to work on me about Brother Mike. Brother Mike would bring his Bible to my truck and I was ready to talk about business, and he brought his big old Bible and he said, Brother, let me tell you what God's got for me, what God wants me to preach about Sunday. And 40 minutes later, I'd heard his sermon. And you know, at first I didn't want to hear it. But you know, after he got through, it just lifted me up the rest of the day. And I said, the Lord began to say, well, Scott, you know, he carries his Bible everywhere he goes. He's not afraid of the Word. He's not afraid of anything. He wants to tell everybody about the Word. He preaches in a lot of churches in the Paulding area and Harrelson County. So he's an example for me that we need to be carrying God's Word with us. Not just the Word just around like this, but the Word of God in our hearts. The Bible reminds us that thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So Big Mike lifts me up, and Neil lifts me up, and all of us can lift each other up when we talk about the Lord. And you know, that's what these two guys were doing. They were talking about the Lord, trying to lift each other up because they didn't understand everything that was going on. But it's an example for us on how. Well, notice that Jesus drew near to meet them. Well, it ought to be our prayer all the time for Jesus to draw near, to help us understand. But you know, he does that. He doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us to be of little faith. He wants us to know exactly what he wants. Jesus drew near to those. And that's a precious part in this scripture in verse 15. You know, Jesus said, why are you sad? He knows those who are sad and those who need to be lifted up. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. In verse 18, he says, the Lord is dear to those who have a broken heart and saves such as a contrite spirit. The Lord knows you. He knows what you're saying, and he knows what you think. And he always wants to draw near when we allow him and we ask him into our heart. You know, they didn't understand. They were sad. They might have felt like giving up, these two followers of Christ, but they didn't. But you know what they were doing? They were speaking his name, and they were sharing his story. And Jesus listened. He listened to all they had to say. And it almost makes me think that he did not want them maybe to know who he was to begin with, just so they could get their story out. But Jesus not only listened to their story, but he challenged their faith to believe in what they could not see. Notice he didn't say that they didn't have any faith, But he said, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. They were just having a little struggle. And all of us at times, at least I do, maybe not all of us, but I do, sometimes we struggle with things. And God, then can we pray and ask God to help us, and he calms our fears and encourages us with words and wisdom and his word. But not only did Jesus draw near to these two men, but look about this. He walked the road with them. The Lord wants to walk the road with us. The road of life that we're on. You notice that he walked for miles probably. It was 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We don't know what time that Jesus got on the road with these men, but he walked a road with them. And it was a miles probably. Might have been the whole journey, but it was the whole journey back home. Jesus wanted to make sure these men knew about him and knew him. All the way home, he carried and lifted their hearts. All the way home, he reminded them about himself and his plan. And in verse 32, the two men says, well, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us? They knew that the presence of God was with them. They just couldn't put their finger on it. But something about this man was different. Notice that they were willing to share the gospel to Jesus. They were willing to tell Jesus about the gospel. Because in verse 18 they said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? They were talking to the Lord and were willing to tell the Lord about the Lord. That's something to think about. Well, we need to do that at times. But Jesus walked the whole way with him. You know, not only should my prayer and our prayer be that Christ draws near to us, but that we draw near to him, asking him to help us walk along the path that he has for us. For he is our shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Sometimes he needs to make us lie down in green pastures. Sometimes the good shepherd wants to lead us beside the still waters. And sometimes he just wants to restore our souls like he was doing to these two men here and lead us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice they couldn't see Jesus to begin with. Their eyes they could not see. Oh, how we need to pray sometimes that God would open our eyes to Jesus and his ways and his work. They were sad. You know what is really sad? Is they were not looking for Jesus. These were followers. And Jesus had told them, he even said, he reminded them that he had to go and that he would come back. But they forgot to look. And sometimes we forget to look. Sometimes we forget that he's coming back again to take us and receive us into himself. Maybe that's the saddest part about this story is nobody was looking. No, maybe in the confusion and the doubt, they were temporarily blinded, and that's why they couldn't see Jesus. Maybe they were looking down and just couldn't understand everything. And maybe it was just part of God's plan for them not to recognize him, because you notice Mary didn't recognize Jesus until he spoke her name. Or maybe it was the sun that was in their eyes. I don't know. But I believe every day the Lord has something for us to learn and see and do. Jesus did show up and open their eyes. He opened the blind eyes all through his ministry. He says that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8:12. So I believe I see that I need to pray for God to open my eyes to a world in need and recognize what God has for us and recognize what he has for us to do. You know, it's easy sometimes to praise God and to do the things that God wants us to do when you're feeling good and you've got all your answers, but sometimes when life is puzzling and everything is not going good, it's not as easy. But in those times, Jesus is still working and still wants us to keep working. And we need to ask him, open our eyes that we can see. Jesus had a work to do for these two men. and he was getting to open their eyes. Well, they had the right words, didn't they? They finally realized that this man, this prophet, whoever this was with them, they didn't want him to go home. They didn't want to leave him. They said, come on, stay with us. Come to dinner with us. Notice Jesus was going further. He had other things to do. But he never demands anyone to accept him, but is always willing when we come and ask him to come to us. In John 6:37, Jesus reminds us that the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. Well, he opened their eyes. Now, they went in to sit down to eat. And normally it's the custom and the Jewish custom for the host to break the bread and to give it out. And Jesus took this job on his own. And maybe that's when they began to realize, hey, there's something about this person. He broke the bread, and maybe these followers were there when Jesus broke the bread with the 5,000. Maybe they were there with the 4,000. Many times I believe Jesus probably broke the bread and fed people. And then when the Lord prayed, I believe that opened their eyes. The combination of breaking the bread and praying. You know, there are some people who are really good at praying. And you know when they pray that they have a close relationship with God. You just feel it in your spirit. But just imagine, I can just imagine, how would it be to listen to Jesus pray to God the Father? Well, he really knows him. He knows all about him. And they have a direct communication. And it would just be wonderful just to hear. We have prayers written, but just to hear Jesus speak those prayers. Boy, I believe just when Jesus spoke that prayer to God, the Father, that opened their eyes immediately. But then I began to think of something else. I began to think of, you know, when Jesus was breaking that bread, he was in a body and he carries things around with him in his body. He carries the scars that he endured for you and me. And maybe when he broke that bread, maybe they saw those scars. He showed those scars to Thomas just later on that day, that night. You see, Jesus, when he prayed and when he showed and anything he did, he didn't miss a word. He never misspoke, but always in prayer and with everything he did with confidence, with faith, assurance, and reverence. There was no way they could miss out and not realize this was Jesus. Man, it just changed the world for them. It was literally, I guess you could say, the Lord's Supper given and observed for these two believers in Christ. What a miracle of the heart Jesus performed on these two who had faith. They were excited. They talked and they walked. And you know what? The Bible says that they went all the way back to Jerusalem that night. And remember, it says that it was 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, I don't know the last time that you walked 7 miles. That's a long way. But they were so excited. They went all the way. They wanted to go back to where Peter and John and all the other disciples were meeting. And they said, the Lord is risen. And the other disciple says, yes, the Lord is risen indeed. You know, when you accepted Christ in your life, you didn't meet a person who had just died and was in a tomb. You met the risen Lord. And that makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. When Mary met the risen Lord, it made all the difference in the world. When these disciples met the risen Lord, it made all the difference in the world. I don't believe we would have this Bible. I don't believe we would be in this church today had the risen Lord not risen and met these people. And they realized that this Jesus had a power over death and life, hell and the grave. And you know what? When you accepted Christ in your heart, I wonder when we get up to heaven, that will be a day to be remembered. Maybe we share our birthdays down here as when we're born, but up there, I wonder if we'll be sharing our birthdays of when we were born again. Won't that be something? Won't that be amazing? The great moment is when we see him again and he's coming back. You know, when he comes back, Matthew records that every eye will see him. Nobody's eyes will be shut. People will know that this is God and the Father coming back. The Bible reminds us in verse 30 of chapter 24 of Matthew, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from the end of heaven to the other. The resurrected Lord makes all the difference in the world. You know, when Jesus came, when he was born, time stood still. Our calendars are marked by when Jesus came. I don't care what anybody says, the calendar's the calendar. Our calendars are marked either before Christ or after Christ, whatever. But our calendars will be marked again when Jesus comes back. I guarantee it. And up in heaven, I believe there'll be a time when we can say, I met the risen Lord on this day and on that day. As we close tonight, I think about why did Jesus spend so much time with these two disciples? And why is this story so important today for us? Because I believe that every follower is important to God. Every follower is a witness. And I believe that Jesus wants to have a relationship with every one of us. I believe Jesus wants to draw near and walk the road with every one of us and help us along the way. We just need to remember to ask Him. We need to remember to seek Him. We need to remember to look for Him. And that's the prayer I have for myself to do that. He wants us to know. He wanted those two men on the road to know that He keeps His promises. He said He was coming back, and He did. He wants us to know that He loves us enough to come back. Jesus, God the Son, didn't have to come back. He could have just stayed up in heaven and said, I've done with this old world. But you know, He came back. Why would God the Son come back? Because He loves us. And He's got something to do with us and for us, and He wants to have a relationship with us. And He wants us to know that He is watching us, and we need to be watching Him in great expectation for His return. And you know, right now He's making intercession for the Father, with the Father, for us, even now. There's so much in this story that I like. Jesus drew near. He walked the road. He opens the eyes of the blind. He cares for those who don't even understand sometimes, but He still wants us to understand and draw us near so that we can understand. But He wants us to know that He's alive and risen forevermore and evermore.